Welcome to us being together in a kind of a distant way, but in togetherness in the Word of God. I had a thought that I would go down to the edge of the lake, a nice place, and just a different environment that would kind of be fitting in with one of the passages of Scripture that I love to share something from with you. But the wind's been blowing pretty strongly, and I think we'd have more wind noise than anything else. So back to the office. So welcome to my office. And the part that you're seeing is fairly tidy. I won't turn it around the other way. I wonder, when we look back on what's transpired for us as a nation and for the world, in fact, but particularly for us as a district, we had ads telling us to be fire ready and to be prepared, and I wonder how much we took notice of that. And we knew that the virus, this COVID-19 virus, was affecting China and other parts of the world, but what preparation did we make? And I've just put the question to you: how prepared were you? And you don't have to be a Boy Scout to use their motto, be prepared. I wasn't a Boy Scout, but it's still, I think, a really good motto. Pretty simple, pretty much to the point. The idea of being prepared sits in the Word of God. In fact, it stood out to me when I was looking through the passages that I shared with you in Mark and Matthew and Luke. And there in Mark chapter 14 and verse 12, I noticed the question, a pretty simple sort of logistical question that the disciples put to Jesus when they said, "Where would you like us to go and make preparation for you to eat the Passover?" Straightforward question. And Jesus then told them exactly what he wanted to do. And I'd like to read actually out of Luke chapter 22 and starting at verse 7. So that it just gives you a good understanding. In fact, Luke actually uses the word prepare or make preparations more than any other one of the gospel writers. "Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover.' 'Where do you want us to prepare for it?' they asked. He replied, 'As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of that house, "The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. So four times the word prepare or preparation is used. A friend of mine said to me some years ago, he said there's the seven P's. Prior proper preparation prevents persistently poor performance. And it's kind of stuck in my head a little bit, that one. And it's proven true for me time and time and time again. The better prepared I am, the better things usually go. And I'm guessing the disciples probably looked at this preparation. They would probably do the job that they had seen maybe their mothers and fathers do. They would have had a Passover meal with Jesus probably a couple of times before, maybe in a family context where he was invited into someone's home. And this was another Passover. And they probably expected, as the things of his kingdom increased, they would have many more Passovers with him. But this was the last one. And, I think about it, well, if only they knew, and if only they'd actually heard or understood what Jesus had already told them. In a sense, if only they were prepared, because there was going to be a new normal that they would be facing. And, life as they'd known it was about to change. They would never go back to normal. And sometimes I think we can be longing to go back to normal. And people talk about this being the new normal, and we wonder how long this is going to last. But we know that Jesus did something tremendously important, something that was absolutely essential, even though his disciples hadn't really grasped what was about to happen, even that very night. And Jesus would, as God had ordained, he would go and be nailed to a cross that next morning. And he would be in that following afternoon, he would be laid in a borrowed tomb. And then on the Sunday morning, he would rise again. And life would never be the same for those disciples. In fact, life is not the same for us because of what Jesus has done, because he bore our sin, because he conquered death, and because his risen life gives us life when we place our faith, our trust in him when he lives within us. But how prepared were they when Jesus went to Gethsemane? They weren't prepared to pray. Their bodies were weak. They might have had good intentions, but they fell asleep. They had good intentions of standing with Jesus, but they couldn't do it. And they had seen their master serve, but they had a quarrel about who was going to, you know, be the greatest and who would be the least and all that sort of thing. And Jesus said, you know, I've come among you as one who serves. And they weren't prepared really for any of that. And when Jesus outlined that they would all fall away because of him, you know, Peter was very well-intentioned and fully committed when he says to his Lord, he says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison, even to death. And yet he wasn't prepared to do that, as we know. And Jesus knew that in just before the dawn, before the rooster would crow, he would have denied him three times. Fast forward a few days and we see Jesus by a lake. And that's why I wanted to actually record this down by the lake and in a sense have something of a location. I couldn't really arrange the 153 fish or a bunch of good, highly qualified fishermen to do that for me. But anyway, I didn't go into that level of preparation. But if we read in John chapter 21, and verses 1 to 14, you read right through to verse 25. Right in the middle there, verses 9 to 14, we see Jesus has prepared the first men's breakfast. The disciples had been out fishing. Peter actually says to his mates, I'm going fishing. And they say, yeah, we'll go with you. And it's like Peter saying, I just want things to go back to normal. I want to do what I know I can do. I just don't know. Even though Jesus has appeared to us already, I just don't know what life is going to amount to now. Now, let's go back to what we know. Let's go back to what's normal. But Jesus had prepared something for them. He'd prepared breakfast for them on the beach. I wasn't going to light a fire and I wasn't going to have bread and fish already grilling on the coals. So, once again, I'm not that well prepared and I'm not that good a cook. But Jesus has prepared something for them, and he does the same for us. And I'm not talking about the breakfast. I'm talking about something better than that. Because he reaches us at our point of looking for our normal lives. He meets us in our point where we are just operating in our own very limited understanding. And he engages us at that point. And he comes and he brings the fact of his kingdom. He brings his purposes. He brings his power. He brings his life. And he offers that to us for us to live in a new normal. We've had this fast force change thrust upon us. And it's been like a big pause button that has been hit. And really, it's almost like a divine reset that we could embrace. Or we could just say, no, I just want life to go back to normal. Well, how are we with proper prior preparation, preventing persistently poor performance? How well prepared are we? I think in this passage, Jesus gives us some really straightforward direction. And I would like to say just four things. Follow me, trust me, let me, and love me. And I just want to draw this out of this passage. Jesus does say to Peter, as he has conversation with him after the breakfast, he's saying, you must follow me. And we need to do that. And when we follow Jesus, we have to realize there is always a cross involved. There is no way around that. If we're really going to be a follower of Jesus, Jesus said we need to take up our cross and follow him. And Jesus also says, trust me. Well, not exactly in this passage, but as he deals with his disciples and as he engages with us, he invites us to trust him. Trust him when we don't know. And there's a lot of things we don't know. And that old proverb where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And never rely and do not lean on your own understandings. Never rely on what you think you know. Boy, has that ever proven true in this time? There is so much that we realize that we don't know. But it also says this, after it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In everything you do, know the Lord. So trust me, he's saying. And then there's this promise, and he will direct your path. So follow me, trust me. Well, the third one is let me. Let me do things in your life that you can't do. You know, the Word of God promises that he will do exceedingly more than we ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work in us and in the church. We need to let the Lord work in our lives. Peter had proved to himself and the other disciples too that they could not do this by themselves. No way. And Jesus says to Peter, I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to feed my sheep. We need to let the Lord do that in our lives. We need to let him work in such a way. And we might not think much of what we could do. We might think, well, somebody else would be better at that than me. But you know, you can share the things that you've learnt from him. You can share that lovingly, kindly, gently in someone else's life. And you can provide for them food for thought and food for reasoning and food that will give them answers to their questions. You can let the Lord work through you to feed his sheep, to feed his lambs. You can trust him for that. You can follow him in that. You can let him do that through you. The last one, I think I'd have to be honest, is the hardest. And it's the question that Jesus put to Peter. Three times we know he asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? You know, do you love me more than the other disciples? I don't know that's what he meant. Do you love me more than being in a leadership role? Maybe. Do you love me more than being in control of your life or, you know, just being able to go back to normal and just go fishing? I think Peter knew what Jesus was asking. And Jesus asks us, do you love me? The greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Do you love me? You know, in these days, the scripture says, Jesus warned what these days would be like. He says, because of the increase of wickedness, the hearts of many or the love of most will grow cold. And I believe we live in those times. You could read in Matthew 24 where Jesus explains what these times we're living in would be like. So I wonder whether there's some keys here with this proper prayer. Preparation to follow him, to trust him, to let him, and to love him. I pray that you are well prepared in these days, and that we together are well prepared, and that simple steps of follow where Jesus says, follow me, trust me, let me, and love me would be the places which we move from being well prepared, and that we would avoid persistently poor performance. And I don't say that by way of accusation. I say that by way of even just knowing my own heart. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the honest, brutally honest accounts of your dealing with a people 2,000 years ago. And Lord, the way that you meet us in our normal, in our desire to keep things the way we like them, the way we understand them. And Father, I pray that we would be a people who would just take some simple steps of proper prior preparation. We don't know what's around the corner. We do know we live in times where there has been a great increase of wickedness. And we do see where the love of many has grown cold. But Lord, you invite us to stand firm and to continue to follow you and continue to trust you and continue to let you work in our lives. And to, Lord, love you because, Lord, you first loved us. So, our God, we bow before you now and say how much we need you. And to say, Lord, we do love the fact that you first loved us. I pray, O God, that we would let your love flow freely in our lives. I pray that our hearts would respond in love to you and in love for one another and in love for a world that needs to see the reality of your love demonstrated so clearly. Lord, may we be well prepared. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.